getting into a third party.
The right end.
All right. April 13th, 2017. Committee on House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness is now in session. We've got a number of things to do. On Thursdays, one of the days we try to set aside, every day is Veterans Day in the United States, as we know, but we try to make sure on Thursdays specifically we do or say something that focuses our efforts. It's been a very interesting week with Tomahawk attacks and the MOAB deployment for the first time in the United States Air Force history, our folks, our young men and women, are busy everywhere. So I wanted to emphasize today the specifics about a Special Forces soldier that was recently killed in Afghanistan, where we also, I assume, did the MOAB bomb in response for. On Saturday, April 8th, 2017, Army Sergeant Mark Dalankar, 37 years old, Special Forces soldier, was killed by small arms fire during an operation in one of the provinces there that I'm not going to try to embarrass myself by not saying, of Afghanistan near the Pakistan border. He had been assisting Afghan forces conduct operations against the local branch of ISIS that operates in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Uzbekistan. He was assigned to the 1st Battalion, 7th Special Forces Group based in Florida. I believe that's now based at what used to be Eglin Air Force Base, but is now Joint Base Eglin. More than 1,800 U.S. troops have died in combat in Afghanistan since 2001. There are approximately 8,500 U.S. troops still in Afghanistan, with more on the way. Another 300 are leaving this week, split between supporting the Afghan military and conducting counterterrorism operations. This was the first combat death in Afghanistan in 2017. Commander of the United States Forces in Afghanistan, General John Nicholson, offered his deepest condolences to the family and friends of our fallen comrade. We will always remember our fallen comrades and commit ourselves to deliver on their sacrifice. The update, of course, is as the result of the death of the soldier and other circumstances, the United States Air Force dropped today what is known as the MOAB. It is a 21,000-pound non-nuclear weapon. I will tell you from experience, when they were testing that, I was 40 miles away when they were testing that on Hobart Range, and the force of that bomb was enough that in a secured structure, the lights were shaking 40 miles away. So I'm pretty certain that the message was sent that killing American soldiers is not going to be acceptable. Our job, of course, is to make sure that while people are gone doing their part, we're doing ours. So that's why we're here today. Thank you. We're going to, in terms of just the map of the day, we're going to cover HCR 27 first. Representative, please come up. Don't yet begin, though, please, but almost. We're going to go through House Bill 3427. We're going to look at 3319. 2847 we're going to discuss, but we're not going to probably move. 2890, I'm hoping to move that we have the paperwork today. We'll have a work session on 2233, 2690. 2895, we are not going to move today, but I want to explain what we're doing and talk about a very special hearing we're having on April 18th to resolve the problems. We're focused with 2895.
I do have one question, though, that came up out of all of that, so maybe you and I talk about it before we get there.
But. Okay. And 2908, which, of course, will create a veteran volunteer coordinator in the Department of Affairs. We are planning on probably carrying over one bill for next week, so just it'll be a short meeting on Tuesday, but just don't think we're leaving town without having at least one measure. All right, so we're going to open a public hearing on HCR 27. Mr. Volk, if you would please.
Thank you, Chairman Evans.
Fill us in.
House Concurrent Resolution 27 recognizes and honors Corporal Jessica A. Ellis, 1983 to 2008, for service to her country. Corporal Jessica Ellis was born in Burley, Idaho on June 28, 1983 to Steve and Linda Ellis. Because of her father's career, the family moved around a lot. Corporal Ellis and her brother Cameron and her sister Amanda lived in various parts of the country growing up. In 1997, the family moved to Lake Oswego, Oregon. In 2002, she attended Lake Oswego High School, where she competed in several sports. She spent her time in college summers as a United States Forest Service firefighter in the Fremont Winema National Forest in southern Oregon. She enjoyed several activities, including running, fishing, spending time with her family. She joined the United States Army in September of 2004 and was assigned to the 2nd Brigade Special Troops Battalion, the 101st Airborne Division, based out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and was twice deployed as a combat medic in Iraq. She earned several badges, including the medic badge, during the first tour. Her courage, competence, and friendliness and dependability earned her the nickname Doc Ellis from her soldiers. During her second tour in Iraq, 3 weeks after surviving a roadside blast that severely damaged her armored vehicle, she volunteered to take another medic's place on a road clearing convoy and was killed in Baghdad, Iraq on May 11, 2008, when the Buffalo in which she was riding made contact with an IED. She will be remembered for her dedication to and deep concern for her fellow soldiers. She is survived by her parents and brothers and sisters. House Concurrent Resolution 27 honors and recognizes Corporal Jessica Ellis and her family for their sacrifice during the Iraq War. That we receive the fiscals and revenues, there is no revenue impact, no expenditure impact.
Representative, go ahead.
Thank you. For the record, my name is E. Werner Reschke, State Representative from House District 56, which is Southern Klamath and Southern Lake Counties. I wish I weren't here today. It's sad to have lost somebody like this. I have never served, and so I have great respect for those who have served, and I have greater respect for those who have served and given their life for our liberty. This resolution is sponsored by myself, Senator Olson, Senator Linthicum, and Senator Kenemer, where Representative Kenemer, where her parents currently live. And I'm going to hand this over to my chief of staff, Jen Reschke, who's done the work in the background and research, and she can tell a little bit more of the story.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jen Reschke, Chief of Staff for Representative Reschke, District 56, Southern Klamath and Lake Counties. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's an honor to come together in recognition of Corporal Jessica Ellis. I first spoke with her father by the phone when he called with a request to put up a roadside memorial for his daughter. I didn't realize until later in the conversation that his daughter had died in Iraq. And as he continued to speak, I thought, what an incredible man. He was humble, brave, and very much wanted to honor his daughter. So I continued my conversation with him, and I just want to see this through all the way to a roadside memorial near Lakeview, where Jessica went to high school. So I have... like I said, I spoke to her Gold Star father, whose name is Steve Ellis, and it is humbling to be here today to testify in honor of Jessica and her Gold Star family. Jessica lived duty, honor, and country in her heart and her motivations for service in the U.S. Army. She was both brave and compassionate, with a well-deserved reputation for putting the well-being of others before her own. Jessica was born in 1983 to Steve and Linda Ellis. She grew up to be an American and loved being outdoors. She was very active in sports, running, hiking, fishing. She loved being with her family. She loved animals. They spent a lot of time together. Just a very outgoing, bubbly person. She was active in several sports and graduated from Lakeview High School in Lake County, Oregon in 2002. And this is where the family wants a fallen hero memorial sign on Highway 140 in remembrance of her life and service. Jessica joined the United States Army in 2004 and was twice deployed as a combat medic in Iraq. She earned the combat medic badge during her first tour for treating a wounded soldier under direct enemy fire. When her father told me about this incident, again, he was very quiet and humble about it. And I'm looking forward to meeting him when this is read on the floor. Her courage, competence, friendliness, and dedication earned Jessica the nickname Doc Ellis from her fellow soldiers. And during her second tour, Corporal Ellis volunteered. She did not have to go. She volunteered to take another medic's place and was killed by a roadside improvised explosive device in Baghdad, Iraq on May 11, 2008. She received the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star. Her father said, She gave the largest sacrifice a person could, selflessly, like she did everything else in her life. And again, I'm looking forward to meeting the family when they come on the floor. Mr. Chair, at the request of Steve and Linda Ellis, Jessica's mother and father, I urge you to move this resolution forward and to honor Corporal Jessica Ellis for her dedication, service, and sacrifice to our country. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for? Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. What part of 140 are we going to put this on?
That's a great
question. West side or the east side? Because if I remember right, it jogs.
Thank you for your question, Rep. Escobar. I believe they want it as close to Lakeview as possible because she went to Lakeview High School. That has not yet been determined because we need to have a conversation with ODOT once the resolution is passed. I would like to keep you updated.
That's a strange way that thing does.
It's a long highway.
please do keep us updated so that it goes exactly where the family wants
it. Exactly. Sure.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair,
just before you enter into Lakeview, it'd be fine right there.
Mr. Chair and Rep. Basketball, I would like to keep it west of Lakeview because that is my district, Highway 395, which goes north-south, goes into Benz's district. And that's just anywhere is fine, though, really, as long as the family's happy.
It's for the family.
Yeah, it's for the family.
It is.
Well, I think I can speak on behalf of the committee. Thank you for bringing this forward. I was actually working for Governor Kulongoski, as was Director Smith in the back, when Jessica passed. And the governor was, Governor Kulongoski was very moved both by Jessica's service as well as her role as a combat medic, his own experience in the Marines. He had come to have a great fondness for corpsmen, and it was something of a frustrating reality at that point before the Army had changed some policies that you could literally be the medic next to the guy who gets shot, but you're not in combat even though you're the combat medic.
Right.
And as I recall, this particular patrol she was on, she actually was covering for another person who wasn't feeling well that day. And she went anyway, and she'd been in an IED event, I believe, a week before that, so she was kind of on a hold, but she went anyway. Mm-hmm. So the least we can do for the family is this. So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments before we? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on HCR 27. We're going to open a work session on HCR 27.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move HCR 27 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Escobar moves HCR 27 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there a discussion? Seeing no discussion, Sky Wojcik, go ahead and call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Lee.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Escobar.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes, and we will ask Representative Reschke if he would be willing to carry that. I'm looking at his chief of staff, and I think I'm seeing her say yes. Okay, good. We'll ask that he do that. I also have a note here saying that I'm supposed to speak up, so I'll try to speak up a little more so people can hear me in the back. We're going to be now moving to House Bill 3427. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 3427 because we need to discuss a couple things about it. Public hearing first, then a work session.
House Bill 3427. We've already heard the basics of this on April 6th, but just to repeat, requires the owner or operator of a dam with a high hazard rating to develop an emergency action plan with the Water Resources Department, the Office of Emergency Management, and the Emergency Services Agency in the county where the dam is located. Directs the WRD to determine the frequency of emergency response exercises at such dams in consultation with OEM. There have been two amendments to this, and the dash two amendments do the following. It modifies the inspection requirement, removing language in the bill, and I quote, and is adequate to ensure the seismic safety of the dam to permit, and that's the end of it. That language is being removed.
It also adds language that the measure does not apply to a dam that is regulated under the dam safety program of a federal agency.
We have received the fiscals and revenues on both dash ones and dash twos, and they are no revenue impact, and there is a fiscal impact, and that's part of the discussion.
Okay, and before we begin, Representative Lewis, thank you for bringing forward this bill. Do you want to speak to the dash two amendment? I've invited up Water Resources to talk about the fiscal aspect.
Mr. Chair, there really isn't anything to add other than he's already explained the Section 6.
Okay.
So
great.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Okay. So if you could please state your name and tell me what we need to remember about this bill.
Okay. Chair Evans, members of the committee, for the record, Raquel Rian Sears, Senior Policy Coordinator with the Oregon Water Resources Department. I've been asked today to talk a little bit more about the fiscal impact. We've been talking with LFO, and as I think I noted in the public hearing, the last go-round, we have an existing policy option package in joint ways and means, aside from this bill, that would make a limited duration position permanent. And that limited duration position is funded by federal funds and other funds, being dam safety fees. That limited duration position does some of the things that are already that are required in this bill already, and would be able to then absorb some of the other activities that were included in this bill. It's a limited duration, and so what that means is it's not in our current service level. So if our policy option package doesn't pass, we estimate that it would take about 0.2 FTE to carry out what is required under this bill, as well as so continuing those activities. So I'll just to note, it's the position authority. We talked with LFO about this, and it's really the position authority, because we have the federal funds, at least we hope we'll still have the federal funds, as well as the dam safety fees to cover that 0.2 FTE. So they signaled to us that either way it needs to go to Joint Ways and Means because of that position authority piece. And so we'll have those conversations with them, assuming the bill goes out of this committee today and goes down to Joint Ways and Means. Hopefully that clarifies, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much for doing that. Any other questions about this? Okay, well, before you leave, if you could please tell your director that I truly commend WR, Water Resources Division. Usually when we ask an agency to try to get specifics, it's like 1 or 2 FTE. You got down to 0.02 FTE. That's pretty impressive, very specific. We'll also make the case that the package needs to go, but if even if it doesn't, this 0.02 is important. So thank you very much for bringing that forward.
Chair Evan.
What does that person look like if they're 0.02?
0.002.
They're
very
short?
They're very effective. I don't know.
Chair Evans, yes, the 0.2 FTE.
0.2?
Yes.
Not 0.02, but we can hope. 0.2. All right.
0.2.
Anything else for the public hearing? Anybody else need to come forward? Thank you.
Okay,
we're going to close the public hearing. Going to open work session on House Bill 3427. I believe we need to work on an amendment first.
Yes, adopt the
amendment. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the HB 3427-2 amendments dated April 10, 2017.
Thank you. Representative Esquivel moves to adopt the House Bill 3427-2 amendments dated April 10, 2017. Any discussion, comments? Okay, seeing no discussion, why don't we go to a vote of roll call vote for the amendment?
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lighty.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. The amendment passes. Good.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3427 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation that the bill be subsequently referred to the Committee of Ways and Means.
Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 3427 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be subsequently referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, sir? Just a comment. I'd like to thank Water Resources for their work on this, too, and clarifying the fiscal part. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful that you brought this forward and got a good solution on this. All right. Call the roll, please.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. And if possible, as it pops back out of Ways and Means, we're going to ask that Representative Lewis get to carry it.
Okay. In fact, we're on the subcommittee on Ways and Means, Representative Lewis.
There you go.
So we'll hear it again.
All right. We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3319. Mr. Folt.
Thank you, Chairman Evans.
Thank you all.
House Bill 3319 appropriates monies to the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs in each biennium equal to the total appropriation in the 2015-2017 biennium, adjusted for inflation and apart from lottery funds. It requires 3/5 vote of the legislature to appropriate less. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs is currently funded from several sources consisting of the general fund, other funds non-limited, and federal funds. It administers three primary program areas that are supported by its core operations, the Veterans Loan Program, Veterans Services Program, and the Veterans Home Loan Program. On November 8, 2016, Oregon voters approved a potential new source of funding for ODVA and other service providers. Ballot Measure 96 amended the state's constitution to dedicate 1.5% of net lottery proceeds to support veterans effective July 1, 2017. Ballot Measure 96 specifies a variety of support for veterans but does not dictate specific amounts or particular recipients of funds. House Bill 3319 protects a minimum amount of funding for ODVA by appropriating monies in future biennia equal to the total appropriation in the 2015-2017 biennia, adjusted for inflation and apart from potential lottery funds, and requiring a 3/5 vote of the Legislative Assembly to appropriate less. We have received the fiscals and revenues. The fiscal is, they deemed it indeterminate, and the revenue is no revenue impact.
Okay. Mr. Smith, would you like to come forward?
Would you like to speak on this? I could, but I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Good afternoon, Chair Evans, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Cameron Smith, the director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And really, I was hoping to hear from Vice Chair Representative Esquivel first, as this is his bill. But did want to signal, while certainly within this biennial budget period that we're working on now, did want to highlight for the committee members and get on the record that we have finally aligned messaging with the veterans community and with the governor's strong support at the end of March to align general fund for current services and those lottery funds, Measure 96, advocating for those to be above and beyond supplemental efforts. That is often what we have heard from the veteran advocates of legislators on this panel and committee, as well as throughout the building and with our veterans community loud and clear, and also with our county commissions that we partner in with Veteran Services. That effort, as you know, every cycle, a new legislature, a new opportunity to affect budgets, this would certainly be a powerful vehicle to ensure those general funds in future years and would be a significant, I think Representative Esquivel would get appointed director of ODVA unanimously by the veterans of Oregon if we're able to secure that going forward.
FPG, one of the two.
But as part of our second phase budget hearing, we'll be back up in front of our subcommittee on Ways and Means end of this month. We'll be advocating for that full general fund for current services and the lottery funds for above and beyond.
Sir?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is very important to me, and it's very important to every veteran in the state of Oregon. But the important thing is we're sending a message to our veterans. We're sending a message to our veterans that, you know, what we did and what the public did needs to stand on its own, and therefore we need to stand by it as well.
Okay. Understanding that there are always some interesting aspects of a bill like this where you have to be careful, understanding that we can't always tell a future legislature what they're going to do. That said, exactly, setting a baseline, setting an expectation, clarifying the language now that we're in alignment. Quite frankly, the bill, I believe, it was a part of trying to get it aligned. So in some ways, the bill has already functioned well. I believe it reflects what most people right now want to be seeing moving forward, from what I understand. Yes?
Well, so the beauty of this bill is that we aren't necessarily telling a future legislature what to do. We're giving them good guidance, because the bill says that if they wanted to do something less,
they
can do it. But, you know, good on them for standing up, apparently, and taking that 3/5 vote to reduce those funds. That'll be on that future legislature, and we've certainly set the threshold for how hard that might just be for them. So we're not binding anybody's hands with this bill. We are just giving them an option to, you know, weigh in a different way if they want to not support veterans.
Okay. Permissive.
Any other questions?
It is permissive.
Okay. Any other comments before I close public hearing, Mr. Director?
Mr. Chair, I'll be bouncing back and forth between here and the Senate, but Laurie will be here for additional questions.
I'll be looking forward to seeing that bouncing, Mr. Director. That's going to be fine.
Thank
We're
going
to close public hearing. We're going to open a work session. House Bill 33. Oh.
Senate.
Okay. Can we do the vote real quick?
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3319 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Escobar moves House Bill 3319 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that we refer to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, Sky, please call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Escobar.
Aye.
Chair
Evans. Aye.
Will do.
Passes. 3319 passes. When it pops back up, if it pops back up, by the ways and means, we'll, of course, ask Representative Escoval to carry the bill. All right. We're now going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2847. Mr. Volk.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. We last heard this on March 16th, and just to repeat, this measure directs the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to develop a program to provide loan guarantees to refund eligible veterans' home pursuant to contracts with a financial provider, permits ODVA to enter into contracts with one or more providers. There was a significant amendments to this particular measure. It did essentially replace it. However, significant portions of the original measure remain. I'll just summarize the significant changes in the Dash 1 amendments. First, it permits the ODVA to enter into contracts with one or more providers and eliminates the requirement for ODVA to enter into contracts with a financial institution as selected through a competitive request for proposals process. Two, it eliminates rulemaking specifying that negotiating interest rates may not exceed 3% above prime and may not change for the first 5 years of the loan. Third, adds clarifying language that contracts entered into by ODVA and a provider must require the provider to finance and service refinance loans, and the provider may not sell the loan to a third party. That's the added clarifying language. And fourth and finally, adds clarifying language that the ODVA may enter into contracts only if sufficient funds are available in the Veterans Refinancing and Reintegration Services Fund. And we have received the fiscals and revenues on both the introduction bill and the Dash 1s. And for the fiscals, it is deemed indeterminate, and for the revenue, it's minimal impact.
So, committee, this is one of the bills that I had worked on trying to bring to the committee to try to get to resolution. And I want to do two things. I want to commend ODVA for getting us to where we're at. And I want to give a special shout out and please give Legislative Council my appreciation for getting the drafted language faster than we thought originally. The bill's not quite where I want it at yet. So like the Veterans Preference Bill that we've talked about previously, what I'm going to ask the committee, if you're okay with, I'd like to hold this bill, work on it in the interim, perhaps bring it back in February, to where it's in a more polished state. There have been some discussions with some of the credit unions about some things they might be able to do to make it more effective, more cost effective. So, again, I don't want to make these decisions unilaterally, but if you're okay with this, because it is a committee bill, I'd like to park it and work on it and try to bring it back in February, if that's acceptable.
Does that take a motion to park it?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just asking. It's still public hearing. We just won't work the bill. Okay? But all right.
Pretty good.
So, ODVA, please tell, we appreciate it. Issue's not over yet. Is for this session, but we're going to continue work on it in the interim. All right? So I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2847. Can open a public hearing on House Bill 2890. 2890 we heard on Tuesday, but I believe we have some paperwork. Mr. Volk, please tell us where we're at.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. This 2890 is what we deem a complete gut and stuff. It directs that $500,000 from the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund be allocated to the Oregon Military Department. Establishes it at $475,000 as the maximum limit that the OMD will allocate for the purpose of providing tuition waivers to members of the Oregon National Guard. And further establishes that $25,000 is the maximum limit that the OMD will allocate for the purpose of paying administrative costs associated with providing tuition waivers. Directs that OMD may not pay for tuition waiver of a member of the Oregon National Guard unless the member has exhausted all federal tuition assistance programs available to the member. Takes effect 91st day after Sunday. Just as a little bit more background, the Oregon Military Department clearly administers, equips, and trains members of the Oregon and Air National Guard. As far as current education, individuals serving in the United States military in active duty, reservists, and National Guards may be eligible for the post 9/11 GI Bill, provided the individual served at least 90 days of aggregate qualifying active duty time after September 10, 2001. Or was honorably discharged from active duty service for a service-connected disability after serving 30 continuous days. To receive the maximum 100% entitlement of 36 months of educational benefits, an individual must have served an aggregate of at least 36 months of qualifying active duty time after September 10, 2001. The current maximum entitlement of all tuition fee payments for an in-state student is $21,970. At a private, or is for all in-state, it is all tuition and fee payments, and for a private school or foreign student school, it's $21,970. There is presently in statute a Oregon tuition waiver program. House Bill 2890, as amended, provides a funding source for the OMD to provide tuition waivers to members of the Oregon National Guard in circumstances where an individual has first exhausted all federal tuition assistance programs. And we have received the fiscal and revenue. There is a fiscal impact of $500,000 and no revenue impact.
Okay, committee members, the amendment as discussed on Tuesday, this is just the paperwork to be able to move it if we go to work session, which I hope we do. To clarify, this is last dollar in. So it's not, I should say, it is the most efficient way possible so that if the soldier or airman are able or eligible to use other funds, GI Bill, et cetera, this would be the account of last resort. But this really will be able to help us cover a seam that's available right now. We talked about this previously, that the United States Department of Defense has been deploying National Guard people under other than Title 10 circumstances. And my concern is they're doing work that is in support of the war effort, but they're not eligible for the GI Bill because they're not on Title 10 orders. This should be able to fill that. The definitions of veteran, military department, and I talked offline, so there should be no confusion over that. The existing language should be able to help those folks. So at this point, it's basically putting money into a program that already has the authority to exist, but it's trying to marshal our resources so that the folks coming back, especially Guard, that may not have access to the other tools, have an opportunity to go to school. So any questions on that? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, this, the funding would be lottery funds, but it would be a part of what was passed by the voters in Measure 96.
Yes.
Okay.
But
thank you.
To that end, it's direct service, so it does count. Everybody that would be eligible to receive this would be meeting the definition of veteran under state law. So it is a use of it, just not through ODVA.
Right.
Okay. So thank you. Great question. Seeing no other questions, I'm going to close the public hearing. I'm going to ask the former chair of the committee if he might be interested in a work session to offer a...
Also, why not?
Okay.
I think that's a good idea.
We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2890.
So, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the House Bill 2890-1 amendment dated April 11, 2017.
Okay, Representative Lively moves that we accept the dash one amendments to House Bill 2890. Is there discussion over the amendment? Seeing no discussion, Mr. Skye, why don't you call the roll so we can put the amendment into the bill?
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Excused.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Excused.
Chair Evans.
Aye. The amendment passes.
Okay, good job. Chairman Evans, I move House Bill 2890 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be subsequently referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 2890 as amended. Go to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be subsequently referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, Skye, call the roll, please.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Excused.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Excused.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. And on this one, we will ask Representative Parrish, once it pops back up, out of Ways and Means to carry the bill. We just will tell her when she gets back. All right. I'm going to ask, we're actually going to go into a public hearing. Now, we're going to do a work session on House Bill 2233. Open a work session on House Bill 2233. I need a motion to do that.
House Bill 2233, we last heard this a long time ago on February 23rd, requires the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs and County Veteran Service Officers to assist Korean Vietnam War veterans and their spouses, dependents, or survivors in applying for any health care-related benefits that they may be entitled to. Directs the ODVA, VSOs, and the Oregon Health Authority to create health care coverage and services for Korean Vietnam War vets determined to be ineligible for other state or federal programs, declares emergency effective on passage. And just a little bit of background, the Republic of Korea contributed forces to fight alongside U.S. troops in Vietnam. More than 300,000 South Koreans fought in the Vietnam War from 1964 to 73. Currently, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is authorized to provide medical services to beneficiaries of nations allied with the U.S. in World War I and II, except any nation which was an enemy of the U.S. during World War II. There are approximately 45 Korean Vietnam War vets who are citizens of the U.S. now residing in Oregon. And a long time ago, we received the fiscals and revenues, and it is no revenue impact, and the fiscal is indeterminate with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. We need a motion first before we have a conversation, right? Would you be willing to offer that motion?
Okay. Chairman Evans, I move House Bill 2233, there are no amendments, are there? Okay. To the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be subsequently referred to the Joint Committee in Ways and Means.
Representative Lively moves to adopt House Bill 2233 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that be subsequently referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Here's the discussion that's open to drive to. The question is, there was a conversation, Representative Parrish, you had with OHA. What was the end result of that?
I have not heard anything back from OHA, and so I think we still need to get an amendment that would clarify that, that we would probably look at running this more like what we're doing with the COPA folks, out of, which would be a DCBS question. So if we're going to move this, then we will work on getting language to make sure that we do that the exact same way. And in fact, the you might have looked in your inbox yesterday or the day before. I think DCBS sent an update on the exchange to all of us, and they actually mentioned how, what they're doing with the COPA folks as part of their highlights of health insurance, and so and that and the coverage that they've been able to do for that population. So,
okay, so as a part of this conversation and discussion, I see two options. One is we can close the work session without taking a vote and roll it to Monday or Tuesday and try to get the amendments before Tuesday. Or we can send it to Ways and Means with a note saying we're thinking this is more of a COFA kind of deal. What do you think is the most appropriate way? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, I've been in the building, you know, a pretty long time. And that never hardly works out when you send it to someone else to fix it.
Amending it.
Right.
I mean, I think that my opinion has always been, let's fix it in our committee, then we know what we have.
Okay. I concur, but I want to make sure because of the deadlines.
Yep.
People.
I think we can try to for you know, the 18th, and then if not, if we had to move it on and keep working it, then but we've done everything we could do to do it here.
Right.
Okay. So I concur. You want to close the work session without taking a vote? We can do that, right? And carry it over. Okay. We're going to close the work session, carry it over to the 18th, with the understanding that hopefully ODVA and OHA and Representative Parrish can meet and get an amendment.
We'll get that on it.
Okay. All right. We're going to open a work session. House Bill 2690.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. I was just going to summarize it because it was been so long ago.
Right.
House Bill 2690, we last heard this on March 9th. Just to summarize, this establishes the Oregon Educational and Workforce Development Bridge Loan Program in the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to conduct outreach and provide forgivable loans to veterans enrolled in an approved educational or training program. The veteran must be eligible to receive educational aid or other financial assistance, and the aid or assistance has not yet commenced, been delayed, or suspended, or is temporarily unavailable. Any loan will be subject to a written contractual agreement that contains a requirement that the veteran repay the loan if the study, training, or program is not completed. Any loan may be made for a period of time not to exceed 3 months, occurring once during a single period of 5 consecutive years, and may not exceed $5,000. Any loan may be forgiven by the ODVA if the veteran completes the purpose for which the loan was made. Monies in the Oregon Educational Workforce Development Bridge Loan Program shall consist of monies appropriated or transferred to ODVA by the Legislative Assembly, proceeds from the repayment of loans, transfer of money to the funding, including the Veterans Educational Aid Account, interest on money, etc. We have received the fiscals and revenues some time ago. The fiscal is indeterminate, and then there is a minimal revenue impact.
Okay. Do we have a script?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2690 to the floor with the due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 2690 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion? Representative Post, you look in deep thought.
Well, I'm frustrated because it seems like lately the vast majority of everything we're doing is going to Ways and Means, and I hate that. It means goodbye.
Well, yes and no.
I know.
The good news is we've been working with our subcommittee chairs on knowing how we want our money to be spent, hopefully.
I just feel this, for some reason, a deep melancholy.
Oh.
Maybe it's Thursday.
Maybe it is.
Well, if it's of any, I'm sure there'll be new fights and new things we can work on soon, but I understand. Thank you.
We have Senate bills coming soon. Yay.
You what?
We'll have Senate bills coming soon.
No, it's not that. It's just...
I have a sense of finality. It's out of our control, kind of.
Yeah. A little bit of that and a little bit of, yeah, I mean, in my brief history here, you know, I've learned that too. And
yeah,
what Representative Esquivel talked about a little while ago, it's out of our control now. And it's frustrating.
Well, I think that's shared. Yes, sir?
This is only the 13th year that this has happened to me. Wait a minute. I got in here 13 years ago. So, I mean, every time you have a session, it happens this way. Just part of the beast.
Thank you for sharing. And I think you probably reflect a lot of our concerns.
But I concur with what you're feeling.
Yeah. All right. Call a roll there, Sky.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. And once it pops back up out of Joint Ways and Means,
take that.
Representative Esquivel
take it.
Will be the carrier. All right. going to open for a brief time, open a work session on House Bill 2895, and I have an explanation about that once Bradley explains the bill.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. To summarize this again, we heard this on March 21st, and the measure appropriates $1 million to general funds to the Department of Education for seismic needs assessments in 27 school districts where these assessments have not been conducted. Declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2017. And as we talked about before, in March, a lot of it is due to the fact that we have a lot of seismic activity, the Cascadia subduction zone. It was determined that there were several school districts that did not have a seismic assessment, and since then, we've actually learned quite a lot. So, and the original fiscal and revenue was no revenue impact, and surprisingly, since you asked for $1 million, it was $1 million.
Thank you, Mr. Volk. I'm going to be asking. I wanted to have a work session to make sure everybody was focused and we got the paperwork done. I'm going to also ask that we park this bill because the best part of it is this program already exists, and in fact, because we had the hearing, it brought some people together that hadn't necessarily been coordinating as much. And there's closer to 35 school districts that we've identified that have a need. However, the best part is on April 25th, we're going to be bringing in the ODE expert on this who manages that fund. He's going to have a slideshow that basically explains how the program works. Now, this program is designed for the initial grant for a seismic study. So before you can get seismic work done, you got to know the size of the problem. There's about $800,000 in the fund right now. It's part of the overall seismic schools enhancement package that was passed many years before. He's going to come with a slideshow of how it works. He's going to bring in the form that people need to fill out to request the grant. And for some small districts, one of the problems we identified in our conversation was that they don't know who to get as a consultant to do this. Because if you're in LC Oregon, there's not exactly 13 or 14 consultants knocking down your door. So he'll even bring in an approved list of consultants that they're not bound by, but they do the work. And the goal is that we can actually have a mini webinar here where people in their school districts can download the form and send it electronically and actually solve the problem. Now, this doesn't mean that every school district is going to get seismically upgraded overnight, but it does mean that the problem that Representative Parrish identified, and I want to thank you for bringing this forward because I think that the solution was there just waiting to be brought together, and I want to appreciate the young man from ALC and his principal, superintendent, cook, and everything else I think he does in that particular school district, for bringing this forward, because for these schools, a lot of them are in older buildings and they don't know where to go. So we actually, I think this bill has been a great vehicle to actually provide us with a lesson learned. So, yes, sir.
Just thought of this. Now, of these 35, did you say schools?
35 that we know.
35 that we know. How many have completed it? And is there geographical
line that is not necessary, because I don't think someone in Ontario, a school in Ontario, needs to do an assessment. Maybe they do. I don't know.
On the 25th, I think he can answer that question. Okay. I'll make sure he's prepared. But what I can say is, and this is a question that is very close to what Representative Parrish dealt with earlier today, if a school has recently done this and they need some help reimbursing the funds, they can actually, there is a process that they can request the funds or part of the funds retroactively. So now some school districts were very forward-leaning and they're not going to be eligible, but mm-hmm. those in the last couple of years, I'm told, will be eligible for reimbursement. So that's also a...
Which solves the problem for Representative Witt's constituent.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So again, I don't want to do this unilaterally, but with your approval, or at least a nod, we can park this bill, not move it forward, but have a good hearing on the 25th that actually helps move people forward.
Yep.
Okay. It's going to close the work session. House Bill 2095. It's going to open the work session on House Bill 2908.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. Just in summary, we last heard this on March 16th, and what the measure does, it creates a veteran volunteer coordinator position with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. It specifies the responsibilities and requires the ODVA to report to the legislature no later than September 15th, 2020, appropriates general fund dollars, declares an emergency effective on passage. Outreach is one of the core functions of the ODVA. Oregon veterans are a diverse population spanning four generations and five major wars. About 50% of Oregon's 300,000 veterans are age 65 or older, and only about 30% presently access their available benefits. House Bill 2908 creates the position of Veteran Volunteer Coordinator at ODVA. We did receive the fiscals and revenues some time ago. There is no revenue impact, and there is a fiscal impact that's somewhat complicated. It's talking about $245,000 at the 17-19 biennium and $267,000 for the 19-21 biennium.
Okay. Is there a motion for this bill?
Yes. It's another one. Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Representative Wiley.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2908 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee of Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 2908 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that be referred to the committee on the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion?
Chair Evans.
Good.
I just had a quick question. So on line four of page two, it's blank, the amount of blank dollars, which may be appropriate. Just a learning moment here to figure out how does that work, and
Ways and Means will fill it in.
So Ways and Means determines the amount.
We get the best evidence we can, and then they actually make the choice down there.
Yeah. Good to know.
Sometimes we hope it's a little more than what we recommend. I do want to emphasize that House Bill 2908, I'm not going to invite ODVA up to talk about this because they need to remain neutral because it's not in the governor's recommended budget. However, it was a policy option package, which is public record, and I'm pretty certain that if they get the volunteer coordinator position, they're going to be with a happy face as opposed to an unhappy face. It will, I think, be critical to make sure that some of the grants that we're going to be hopefully funding through the grant program actually that organizations that are volunteer organizations that they're outreached to and maybe learn some things and we can share information and help people. So I think this is going to be a good thing moving forward, and I think it fits into their strategy. Yes.
Thanks. So, you know, one of the things I'm interested in sort of maybe tasking ODVA with is as we start to use these Measure 98 or 90, yeah, well, no, Measure 96,
six.
Sorry.
Yeah, 96.
I've got 98 on the brain because I'm in House Ed, too.
The 90-something.
One of those 90s. The 96, I should know better. But, you know, when we talk about putting in a veterans volunteer coordinator that's going to have some VSO-type work, I'd like to have a starting line that says, you know, on July 1st of 2017, ODVA was serving this many veterans, and then really try to like watch how the work comes in, right? And then make that connection of with these new veterans coming in, this is how much money we're bringing down. Because I think it reinforces the House Bill 3319 that we just did that said we want to keep those dollars funded. I think as we are getting people properly aligned, we're going to see a revenue impact to the state. And of course, our fiscal and revenue statements don't track it the way we would like to track it, and somebody needs to track it. And if we can work with ODVA and maybe in some of these new positions, carve a little bit of measurement into their workload, even though the bill doesn't say that, I think we need that data coming back to defend the budget allocation in a subsequent biennium. So
I think, to your point, Representative, and the committee, Senator Boquist, Director Smith, and I have talked about in round numbers different kinds of metrics that we could be using that may be applicable for volunteer coordinator, perhaps number of organizations, number of volunteers contacted versus dollars, for example, mm-hmm. on housing, relative decrease in housing decrease of homelessness among veterans in certain areas that can be measured. So trying to come up with ways that are not onerous, but a language for each piece that we can come back and discuss in February, March, adjust as necessary, and then basically no more in the next biennium. So I think you're absolutely right. And I believe that this volunteer coordinator position is a force multiplier position, or new terminology is force enabler, more than a direct contact, but very important nonetheless. Any other questions or comments on this? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, I'm just curious that the volunteer coordinator will be working with the VSOs, I believe, right? And that was a Measure 96, one of the Measure 96 issues.
Yes.
So I'm curious about why it's a general fund versus a lottery fund budget.
Well, two reasons, really. One is, absent the lottery funds, the veterans coordinator position was the next piece that the director wanted to have in place to be able to expand our outreach among the locals. Second piece is, it is a more of a personnel and steady state function.
Okay.
And we're, to the greatest extent possible, we're trying to use lottery funds for expansion, additional, and outreach services. That does not mean that some of the services won't be people. But to the extent that we can continue to build the base of what the core organizational functions are and keep that a little bit separate from the add-ons, I think is the approach. Is that, I'm seeing a nod, so we'll go with that. Do you want to answer or not? Come on forward. And of course, bring the friend.
Actually, what you said makes sense.
He's napping. I'm gonna leave him there.
He's napping. Okay, well, don't wake up a dog that's napping. So please, for the record, say your name and
sleeping dog.
Chair Evans, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Laurie Scalman. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Two things. One, as to the language in the bill that says general funds, I think that was in the bill at the time that it was dropped, because it was unclear how many funds were available for lottery funds. Of course, when it goes to Ways and Means, they can make a determination about which funds would be appropriate for this position. The second thing in the bill, I don't have the bill right in front of me, but sort of about two-thirds of the way through the bill, there's a whole list of things that the Veteran Volunteer Coordinator needs to report back to this committee and the Senate committee about what they did, what the impact was, how many volunteers did they get, and so on. So we are very mindful of outcomes for any of these kinds of positions or any of the kinds of things that we would take on. And to your point, Representative Parrish, I appreciate that, because, you know, what is the bang for the buck on these kinds of things? With the County Veteran Service Officers, number of claims files, new powers of attorneys granted is a great measurement, and then revenues back from that. Representative Lewis, to your point about working with County Veteran Service Officers, one of the things that is kind of the concept behind this is to have these veteran volunteer coordinators have close, good relationships with the County Veteran Service Officers, because they're going to be sort of this, what was your expression on that?
Force enabler.
To bring more veterans, do this outreach to bring more veterans in, and we believe that the most important point of contact is the County Veteran Service Officer. So I just wanted to clarify a couple of things for you.
The other thing, just kind of as a piece that thankfully Ways and Means gets to settle and we don't, is that depending on definition of terms, some things can or cannot be paid for at a lottery. So some of the aspects on the volunteer piece may have to come out of the yellow money versus the green money versus the red money, but they'll settle it out down there.
Military script,
right? Yeah, pretty much. All right. Yeah. Any other discussions on House Bill 2908? Seeing no discussions on House Bill 28, please call the roll.
Representative
aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. And when it pops back up, I would like to assign Representative Meek, if possible.
Thank you, sir.
If you're open to that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I forget what the correct procedure is, but I wanted to see if Representative Parrish and Esquivel can vote on those couple.
You move to suspend the rules so that you can
thank
vote?
You. There you
Representative
go.
Post moves to suspend the rules. Anybody, everybody cool with that? Anybody not cool, say aye. Nobody's not cool. We're all good with it. We're going to suspend the rules.
Anybody's not cool.
They have to adopt and pass the bill.
Right. So we're going to reopen the work sessions on these bills. Which ones do we need to...
That was 2890.
Is one of them.
And that was
2890
and 3319.
They were back to back.
Sky, which one do you not have a vote?
2890.
We're going to open a work session on 2890. How do you vote on the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
Adopt.
They both vote to adopt the amendment. Do I have to bang the gavel again and do the bill itself, or just going to ask them how they vote on the bill itself? How do you vote on the bill you just amended?
Aye.
Aye.
They both said aye. Closed. What's the next one?
Let's see.
We didn't move that one?
26,
90. Is there only one?
No, there was one more, I think.
I could have swore there were.
Yeah, you did.
We had a discussion about 2847, but then we didn't vote on it.
Yeah, we didn't move it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for the good of the order, two things. Number one, we are going to be hopefully talking about 2233. Well, we're going to schedule it, so we're carrying it over for 2233, so there's public notice. Hopefully, certified big brain people can come back with an amendment that we can move. Also on that day, I'm going to be hopefully asking some questions about how we can help support in some of the work groups, because we're going to be entering a period where we're going to be waiting on some Senate bills, so we'll have some time actually perhaps to bring in folks you would think would be helpful for your work groups, and that would be smart for all of us to learn from. We have a little bit of flexible time in there. All right?
Do you want to mention 2887? We're going to have to amend it.
Nah. All right. Any other questions? For good of the order?
Carried over.
Yep, 2233 is the only one carried over. Okay. All right, we are adjourned.
Representative Parrish.